the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas.
Isaiah, what a book it is. And sometimes you have to connect some chapters. I want to do this as we began this study of Isaiah. And it says in Isaiah chapter 10, listen, "Behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop off the bough with terror. Those of high stature will be hewn down, and the haughty will be humbled. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one." Now, he's talking about what he's going to do with these trees that's going to be cut down. But listen to chapter 11 as it begins. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Wow. I want to tell you, yes, those that trust in their own works, they will be cut off. But those who trust in the Lord, the world may look at it like it's no hope, but out of that comes Jesus Christ. This is Bert Harper along with Alex McFarland, and you really do want to listen to this scripture study today. It's some of the best, I think, that's in Isaiah, and that's saying a lot because it's filled. But Alex, we're in chapter 11 and chapter 12 today. They kind of go together. Chapter 12 celebrates in a song what God has done. But in chapter 11, we see a new day coming, and it's coming because of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Well, it really is, Bert. It's great to be with you and great to be studying this wonderful part of Scripture. You know, it's pretty interesting. Isaiah 11 begins, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem or the root of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And you know, Jesse means gift from God, or God's gift. Did you ever wonder why it didn't say, like, from the line of King David?
Yeah, I think it goes back further than that, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. It goes all the way back. But, you know, isn't that something that really the humility of the rod, Jesus, who will come again a second time and rule and reign with a rod of iron, but the father of King David, the fact that he would acknowledge not just the throne of David, but David's father, Jesse, that's there's a certain completeness to the promises of the Messiah, isn't it?
It really is, and God is, you can trust him. And notice, I would say this, the humility of this whole chapter 11, verse 1, not only Jesse, but a stem, a branch, you know, he's coming forth. And so this is introducing who it is. It introduces, I would say, the promise. But in verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord." What a statement this is. You can't help but compare that to what he said earlier about our wonderful counselor. You know, the whole idea that he was a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And here, when you read this verse 2, Alex, they seem to tie in together. Do they to you as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, these wonderful attributes of the coming Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Bert, doesn't that remind you back in Luke 2:52, speaking of Jesus, the boy Jesus that would grow up, of course, to pay the sin debt of the world? It says that he would grow in wisdom and stature and in knowledge and in favor with God and man. I don't know. I think the Luke 2:52 and the Isaiah 11, they really complement each other.
They do. Notice the term rest upon him. Now, again, that got my attention. You know, a day of rest, the rest of the Lord. And so here it is, the Holy Spirit rest upon him. He's at home there. They're together there. And I know it's the Father is not mentioned here, but the Holy Father, that sits on the throne. But here the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Alex, the whole idea that you said from Luke and then from an earlier chapter here in Isaiah, notice the words, and it's spirit of counsel and might. Now put those together, counsel and might. There are some people that would counsel correctly and know good decisions, but do not have the power to take them out. And then there's people who have great power, but they do not have wisdom to know how to handle it. And so here, the spirit of counsel and might going together, a combination that sets them up for a kingdom reign. We're talking about someone who is reigning and able to rule and have the power to do so. That's what this is looking forward to, a great day, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and not only might and power, but of restraint when needed. It's been often said that Jesus came to be the suffering servant, and he will return as the conquering king, of course. But, when Jesus was here the first time, even though he had all the power and could have called down, as Billy Graham said, called down 12 legions of angels, he was very restrained. When I think about the spirit of might, that's right after wisdom and understanding. Jesus he restrained himself, didn't he, when he was treated so horribly by fallen men? The wrath of God could have fallen, but he restrained himself.
He would also restrain himself to the day when he knew his time had come. I know I mentioned this often here on this program, but in the book of John, my hour, my day hasn't come yet. He was restrained to know when. Convey that to us as well when he's working in our lives, when we may have been praying for something and it may not have occurred to us. And we, Father, why don't you meet this need? But God not only knows when to give, but he knows when not to give that. And so, Alex, that is the whole, he has the whole, all the attributes that is needed in this wisdom. And that is conveyed in the millennium reign, but it's also conveyed in our lives as well. So let's put it to our lives today. The Lord knows what he's doing in our lives. He's not going to put on up us more than we can bear with his strength and his help when we rely upon him. He's going to give us what we need when we need it, isn't he?
He really is. He really is. And Bert, what's interesting, in the four Gospels, at least 8 times, Jesus said things like, my time is not yet, or the hour is not yet, or my time has not yet fully come. And so what's interesting is he with his power, because we had this question yesterday. People were asking about, Jesus didn't go to Jerusalem. And he was keeping everything on track, wasn't he?
He really was. And because of that, notice what it is. It brings on, keeping it on track, verse 3 through 5. I'll read those together. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. In other words, that which we've questioned will be done away with. That which is wrong, it's going to be wiped out. It's going to be taken care of. Notice it says that he does with the breath of his lips. That's all he has to say. He doesn't have to do to save us. He had to come and die. But when he comes back to rule, he will do it with his power and his strength. But Alex, again, notice what it says. It shall, his delight is in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
What I mean, our delight should be that as well, should it not? We delight in the Lord. We find pleasure in His presence and in obedience to Him.
Well, remember, He said, "My meat or my sustenance is to do the will of the Father." And, you know, if you look at like 3-5, it goes through this and it says, you know, with righteousness He shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. But then it goes on in like 5, He will strike the earth with the rod of His mouth, with the breath of His lips He will slay the wicked, which is what Christ does at the end of the tribulation. In 3-5, do you see almost reference to the first coming and then the return?
It is, both of them. It's a righteous rule. He rules right. Now, in the first time, yes, that's what He presented. And He said, "To my kingdom is not of this world," but He still had this kingdom. And how does He operate in this kingdom? The way He does here, Alex. And He demonstrated that in His first coming. And then the reality of it being totally taken care of will be in that millennial reign when He comes, and His righteousness will rule. So what do you do when you do that? You take care of that which is evil, but you bring forth that which is right and righteous and good. So that, I don't know how else to say it. I'm going to use a word. You might want to use a better word. The balance is there, isn't it? We've got to deal with the issues of evil, but He uplifts that which is righteous. That's in my own personal life. That's what I need to do. He talks about it. He told us that we need to turn away from evil, that we keep our body under subjection. Now, that's not the only thing we do, but we lift up that which is righteous with thanksgiving and praise. So there's a balance here, isn't there?
There's a balance. And then there's, I think, reference. This is why Isaiah, and again, it was written 750 years before the birth of Jesus, but it is so beautiful and messianic. You know, Isaiah, some commentators call him the evangelist of the Old Testament. But like in verse 6 and following, we get a description of the millennium. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear. And I would encourage people to read, you know, verses 6-9. But again, it almost sounds, Bert, like the Beatitudes. He will judge the poor. He will decide equity for the meek. But then at the second coming, the strike with the rod of His mouth, the slaying of the wicked with the breath of His nostrils, righteousness shall be the belt of His loins. And this is referenced in the book of Revelation, faithfulness. And then that concludes verse 5, but then 6-9, the millennium.
It is. Now, how does He bring this about? Going back to what He said in verse 2, He has the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Because of what He's done, who He is, He can bring this about in His time. And people say, well, we've been waiting and waiting. Listen, you know, don't count it as men count slackness. He's going to keep His promise, and He's coming back, and you want to be ready, being saved, when He comes back to claim His saints, and then years of difficulty and tribulation, 7 years, but then that reign of righteousness will come to earth. You want to be a part of it. This is Bert and Alex on Exploring the Word, and we'll be back with more right after this break. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
He who came to earth from heaven is coming back again, and our eyes will see eternity because of Bethlehem.
Amen. Because of Bethlehem. This is Bert and Alex. But I think we have a question here in the studio, and Brent's been asking it. Brent, what question have you been asking?
Where in the world is Alex?
Okay, well, why would you ask that? Does the sound sound a little different, brother?
Just a little.
Okay, so here's the question. Where in the world is Alex? Where are you, Alex?
Well, I'm flying my last couple of airplane flights for this year, praise the Lord. But I'm in the Greensboro, North Carolina airport, headed out for a week of speaking in a few places. And anyway, I apologize for the background noise, but I want to say thanks to Brent Austin and Marty Sparks and all the engineers and people that enable me to do radio even when I'm traveling. You know, I've been exploring the word twice from LaGuardia Airport in New York City in years past. So don't we have good engineers to help make the electronics work?
Oh, it is amazing what can be done today. We have people. Now, people would know this is not true today, that you're not here at my side or side beside. But people say, you mean you and Alex are not in the same studio when y'all do use programs? I said, no. I said, he's hundreds of miles away. Never know for sure. But, so here it is. And thank you, Alex, for your travels. Listen, you say thank us for putting up with you. No, we say thank you for being that traveling evangelist for AFR. Tim Wildman has said that about you, and we agree with him that you represent AFR, but more than anything, the Lord Jesus Christ, you do it well, and we appreciate your travels, brother.
We give God the glory, and it's been, rather extenuating and some hard work sometimes, but I give God the glory. It's enabled us to be in front of, I couldn't tell you how many thousands of people, a great number of whom have walked the aisle and made that commitment to Christ.
Well, may God continue to give you days of fruitfulness, and we appreciate that. We're in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, has the kind of sovereign rule that God has. It is a rule that is righteous. That's the whole idea. Then it skips in verse 6 through 9. It's kind of like the creation that God started with is restored. Listen to these words. It's the calf and the young lion are together. A young child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. This is the whole idea. Notice what it says in verse 9. I think that would be a good way to close this section and get on to chapter 10, where it talks about a regathering of some people. We'll get to that in a moment. But verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. What a picture that is, Alex. Finally, you have this. The earth will be full of the knowledge of God, like the waters covers the sea. So, Alex, we've got a day that we're looking forward to. How can we make sure that we can be a part of that day that he describes here?
Well, you know, to make sure that we have Christ in our heart and that we have been born again. And, folks, you know, Christian growth is a lifelong journey, but Christian birth is an event, a decision. And to everybody listening, you know, Bert, I was on Moody Radio this morning promoting our book, the new book that you and I have written on 100 Bible Questions on Prophecy. And the man asked me just that. He said, how can a person be prepared for the end times and eternity? And I said, by making sure that there's been that moment when you put your faith in Jesus and simply you could say, Lord, save me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for me. And Lord, I'm accepting you as my forgiver and my leader. And Bert, somebody could pray that even right now today and make sure that they're ready.
No matter where you are, in your car, at your desk, in that truck, 18-wheeler, you're listening and you've never been born again. Would you trust the Lord? Would you ask him to forgive you of your sin and ask him to come into your life and reign as Lord? He'll do it. He'll change your life. If you've never done that, do that right now. Well, Alex, in verses 10 through 16, we have a restored or regathering of some Jewish people. Listen to this. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. There it is again. Who shall stand as a banner to the people. In other words, this root goes up, but it's going to serve as a banner. And you'll see the word banner used twice. For the Gentiles shall seek him. Okay, it's more than just the Jewish nation. And his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. He describes all the different nations. Verse 12 again, he will set up a banner for the nations and shall assemble the outcast, listen to that, of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now listen to this word, and you can go on the part you want to, Alex. Gather together. There's going to be a gathering in that day of his people, but not only the Jewish people, but also the Gentiles shall seek him as well. It's going to be a glorious day, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. And you know, Bert, I've always loved the language there. I think it's so beautiful where it says, nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, which is a famous wording that's in both Isaiah and Habakkuk. And it goes back to what makes it all possible, or who, I should say, who makes it all possible, that root of Jesse who will stand as a banner to the people. Now, this is amazing. The Gentiles shall seek him. His resting place shall be glorious. Bert, isn't it amazing that Jerusalem, and I have the great honor, I'll be going there next March, good Lord willing, with Tim Wildman and everybody, and if you go to Wildman Tours, you can learn about our Israel trip. The great city of God, Jerusalem, the city of Israel and the Jews, the Gentiles will go there. It'll be a while before most Gentiles ever get to that city, but you can know the king of that city today by calling out to Jesus.
Amen. And he is the way. There's no other way. There's no other way of getting there. It's the way. It's the definite article, not a way, but the way. So he mentions this great gathering that we've talked about, Alex. And I could not help but notice from the four corners of the earth in every direction, north, south, east, and west, they're going to gather together. I could not help but remember when Israel was, came together before 1948, there was a gathering of God's people, especially after World War One. During World War One, there's a gathering, and they started going back until they had that remnant. But there's going to be something bigger than that. I think that was a picture of something that was better to come. So we have this that is great going to be in that day when they're going to be from the four corners of the earth. It's going to be a great day. And again, the word is glorious. And I don't think we can overuse that word. It will be glorious, won't it?
Well, that's true. Do you know, Bert, sometimes, depending on what translation you have, you'll see the word banner or sign, S-I-G-N, or ensign, E-N-S-I-G-N. Well, at least 71 times the Bible uses terms like this, of a standard or a banner, and we are to be standard bearers. And there in Isaiah 11, it talks about that the Messiah who is going to come and everyone comes from the four winds, he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel, gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners. Bert, I want to submit to you that banner or the standard that the whole world looks to. Of course, it's Jesus,
Amen.
King Jesus. But right now, if I can think of one symbol of what Christ did that I've seen it the world over, that banner is the cross.
Amen. Amen. Alex, I agree fully. And this is Old Testament. This is Old Testament talking about what God's going to do, and he's going to do this for his people. Now, in verses 13 through 16, you have Ephraim, which is the northern kingdom in Judah. They're adversaries. They'll be no longer adversaries. They will come together. God's going to bring them together, which was his original intent. They went away from that. And so he's going to take care of all of those things. And I'm going to skip down to verse 16 and read it. And you may want to go back to another part of this, Alex. But there will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria as it was for Israel in the day he came up from the land of Egypt. In other words, sounds like another great entry or exodus from and an entrance to. But I love the term a highway. I think Isaiah uses that. You know, the way will be made smooth. It will be made right. The crooked will be made straight. So he uses this highway. Jesus is the way. But one of these days when this gathering takes place, it's still Jesus is the way. But isn't it beautiful to see that he is the highway into this glorious kingdom?
Well, yeah, and he said he is the way. You know, just like the word banner is really kind of a military term about a flag of victory, and Jesus is victorious, and the cross is that banner of our victory and our redemption. But then there's a highway, you know, going to the kingdom, and Christ is setting up a kingdom, and it is sure to come, and he wants everyone listening to be a part of that kingdom. But you know, that highway for the remnant, not only is there a pathway to the kingdom, but the way, the path, the entry point, it is Jesus. Not just a way, but like you said, definite article, the way. And if you're not in Christ, you're on the wrong road.
Amen. Now, what this is going to do is culminate in verse 12, chapter 12. We may not completely get through, but that's worth the beginning. Notice, a song. After all this that he's talked about here in chapters 1 through 11, it kind of culminates with a song. I want to read it all the way through, if that's all right, Alex. O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. What a song Isaiah gives us, Alex, one of praise and of thanksgiving and declaration. But one thing, and I'll throw it back to you, I could not help but notice this in verse 2. I'm a Baptist preacher, so you notice these things. Strength, song, and salvation. Sounds like a good sermon outline, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, in addition to being a prophet and an evangelist, Isaiah is a little bit of a composer too, isn't he?
He is. He does. And so when he does this, notice he starts out, O Lord, I will praise you. I want to challenge those of you who are listening, make this a practice. O Lord, I will praise you. Praise him for what he's done for his salvation. Praise him for what he's done for you for life. And Alex, if we do that, I think it changes our attitude, our perspective, and everything when we praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, you know, chapter 12 is a fitting transition, you know, beyond chapter 10 and then 11. I will praise you, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. And, of course, here is just one of the greatest verses. I've quoted it so many times, Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Jehovah God Almighty is my strength and my song and has become my salvation.
Amen. when you hear that and see that, I could not help, and I want you to comment, I'm throwing it back to you, I will trust and not be afraid. Those two go together. The trust him comes before not being afraid, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. It really does. And I'm not going to, you know, belabor the time by telling the story now, but I came across this verse as my dad was passing away, and he was a Christian, but it was hard. My dad died, and I came across that verse, and I just read it and reread it. God is our salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And notice the wrath has turned away. And so for one thing, if you're a believer, you don't have to be afraid of God for his wrath, because there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's Romans 5:1 and Romans 8:1. But then, even in life circumstances, we don't have to be afraid. He is our strength, our song, our salvation. And I would just encourage people in these turbulent times, meditate on Isaiah 12:2, and let that comfort, that strength, that salvation, even the song in your heart, let that be nurtured by these precious promises from God's word.
Amen. And it finishes up. Notice what is involved in praise. In verse 4, declare his deeds among the peoples. Declare it. Make mention of his name. Exalt his name. Sing to the Lord. He's done these things. Verse 6, even louder. Cry out and shout it, for great is the Holy One of Israel. We've got someone to sing about, someone to praise. Matter of fact, we want your prayers or your thanksgiving. That number, it's a day of prayer here on Exploring the Word. That number is 888-589-8840. If you have a prayer request or thanksgiving, give us a call. We'd like to celebrate with you and pray for you today. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper. Amen. I was reading earlier today, you know, if you knew the King of Kings was coming, would you put him in a stable? Would you announce it to shepherds? Well, if that King is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, what a way to save the world. And he is ready to do that. I pray you will put your trust in him. This is Bert and Alex, and it's the day of prayer Tuesday. I love to give the history of this. Before the election, we decided we were going to pray on Tuesdays because the election would be on Tuesday. And we started praying maybe 6 weeks or so before that, Alex. And we had a lady, sweet lady, that called up and said, why stop praying on Tuesday? And so it has become a part of our, I'm using the word routine, and not in a negative way, but it's a part of our schedule to make Tuesday a day of prayer. I thank God for putting that on the heart of that lady that challenged us to do this.
Amen. Amen. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you want to call in with a prayer request or a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you either way.
We surely do. So let's go to the phone lines and go to Tennessee and talk to Mary. Mary, thank you for calling today. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was calling in. My friend of mine called me and told me that her son-in-law and her daughter were both hospitalized. He was hospitalized the day before Thanksgiving. She's recently been hospitalized yesterday evening in the emergency room, both with heart issues and her with profuse bleeding as well. They're concerned about his kidneys, liver, and they're not sure he's going to make it. This is a husband and wife, Bob and Leah Miller. They're also trying to connect with their estranged older son, Adam Miller, because they're not able to reach him to let them know what's going on. But we just need a lot of prayer for the family. Sorry.
Okay. Mary, thank you for being concerned. And broken relationships. Alex, you being there where you are, you could hear Mary's request.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure because we was making sure of that. Hospital, emergency room. Sometimes when it rains, it pours, but God is going to intervene in this. I think we could pray for that. Don't you, Alex?
Amen. Amen. God is going to intervene. Would you like me to pray?
Do that, would you, brother?
Lord, we thank you for Mary's call and for all of these hospitalizations. Lord, we pray, Lord, your quick intervention for physical healing and just undertake for these people. But even that, spiritual strength. And Lord, as you always do, you are the great healer. Isaiah 53:6, by your stripes we are healed. Lord, I pray spiritually, physically, just emotionally, by every benchmark. Lord, raise these people up from out of the hospital. Draw them closer to each other and closer to you. We commit them to you, and may your grace and power be especially felt here at this Christmas time. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Mary, thank you for calling and having that love and concern. Let's stay in Tennessee. Is it Liza? Liza, thank you
yes,
for calling.
Is.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I basically just want to give all praise to God. I was telling earlier that I, at a young age, I found my father when he committed suicide. And through that whole situation, I was able to turn it around, and I got closer and closer to God, even with me being that young. And just looking back, I just thank God for keeping me through this whole entire situation. And I just want to give God all the honor and all the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Listen, when we get to heaven, people say, what are we going to do up there? We're going to have and meet a lot of people, and we're going to hear a lot of praises. But Liza and Alex, when we get to see all that God did in our lives in connecting, and I'm using this term, connecting the dots of praise, listen, no wonder we're going to glorify him and all that he's done. It's going to be amazing, isn't it, Alex?
It is, you know. Our heart and our empathy goes out to this dear lady. But like she said, you know, we praise Jesus because we have victory, strength through him. And, you know, Bert, no doubt there are people listening going through some hard times. Let me say this. Lean into Jesus. Trust him. You're going to make it, not in your own strength, but he will hold you up today, tomorrow, and always, won't he, Bert?
He will. I can't help but think of Corrie ten Boom when she was in that prison camp, and everything was going horribly bad, and she is talking to her sister, and sister said, there's no pit that's so deep that God's love's not deeper still. That I remember that quote, and his love is deep and wide, and praise God. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Deborah. Deborah, thank you for calling.
Hi, this is Deborah, North Carolina. I have final exams this week, and if you all could please pray for me that I finish strong, and not just for me, but all the students at the seminary, that we finish strong.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, a lot of students. Alex, is all right if I pray for this?
Absolutely. I can really relate to this prayer.
Yes.
I've prayed this in years past. Lead us, Bert.
I will. Father, thank you for Deborah. And God, I'm praying for her specifically, that you would call to her memory all that she has done and be able to recall it and share it and put it down in writing or check the right boxes, whichever way those exams can come. I pray for that, her wisdom, her knowledge, as I do pray for a lot of others. My grandchildren, Father, they're getting ready, and other grandchildren and other children, not just in North Carolina, but in every state. And Father, a lot of people are dependent on that, and I pray you would help them. I pray they would be studious and being ready and prepared. But as they are prepared, Father, I pray you'd give them what they need in order to recall what they have learned. In Jesus' name, amen. Deborah, again, amen. Thank you. Amen. We appreciate that so much. Well, let's go to Dennis in Missouri. Dennis, thank you for holding. What's your prayer request today?
Well, my prayer request is mainly for my family, for their salvation, especially my brother, who's older than me, but he doesn't want anything to do with the Lord. And I've sent him my books. I've sent him books, and I've written him and told him he don't want to be miss the rapture and not get to heaven, because that would be a bad, bad thing for you. But he said, I'm just not interested, so I just bring him before you and say he put a hunger in his heart.
Okay, Dennis, we're going to pray for him. I want to tell you, Sunday, I saw an older gentleman saved, and I'm going to get to baptize him this coming Sunday. And listen, his brother was there rejoicing, and nieces, and so many rejoicing. And so we're going to pray that God would touch your brother and bring him to Christ. Alex, would you lead us for Dennis's brother?
Let's pray. Lord, we pray for Dennis's brother. Lord, we ask you to move on his heart right now. Make him hungry for the true God. Lord, keep him alive physically till he could be born spiritually. And Lord, bless this man praying for his brother to get saved. And Lord, even now, and we know it's your will, because John 15 and 16 says, if we ask according to your will in your name, you will do it. And Lord, you are not willing that any should perish. So we pray for this man's salvation. And even now, the Spirit of God will move and draw him and open his eyes, melt through that hardened heart, and make this man desire and find Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dennis, thank you. I'm proud he has a brother like you that loves and cares for him, and we want to pray for him. Let's go to Tennessee. Joe, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I have a friend named Pat, and for years he's been struggling with certain ailments. And if you've seen what he's going through and then you get some kind of ailment, it makes you feel real low to see somebody like that that makes every day a struggle. And I pray that people will pray for him and keep them in their prayers. And maybe he'll be touched with healing, I pray. Thank you.
Joe, we're going to do that. I want to add to this. We've got people here. When you have a ministry as big as AFA, AFR, there's usually people here whose family's going through it. They're going through it. And we have those here at AFR, AFA. Not everything runs smooth in their lives. There's illnesses and difficulties. And so, Joe, just like we're praying, I want to pray for your friend. As when you have difficulties and then you have more, it's compounded, and Satan wants to get you down. So we're going to pray for him physically and spiritually. Father, I pray for Joe as friend that he would look unto you. And Father, that all that he's going through with the difficulties, the physical ailments and all the other things, Father, that he would trust in you. I pray he would not do what Peter did when he was walking toward Jesus on the water and look at all the storm and gaze upon them. We can't help but glance at them. They're a part of our life. But I pray that our gaze would be on the Lord Jesus Christ and the victory that he gives us either in life or in death, that we have the victory that through Christ and his power to forgive in the blood that washes away our sin. So, Father, thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Joe, we thank you so much. Well, let's go. Man, Tennessee is in today. Ethan from Tennessee, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just wanting to ask for prayer for my mom. She's going for her fourth chemo treatment this Thursday, and she's having a scan done to see how the medicine is progressing. And hopefully everything looks good where they can do surgery later on in the month to remove the different tumors. And also, I had a couple more. My friend, Miss Betty, she recently lost her husband, and just wanted to pray for her. And Mr. Bobby, he's struggling with addiction. I'd like to pray for him. Thank y'all.
Okay, Ethan, quite a prayer list. Thank you for having a prayer list. It's good to have a prayer list, isn't it, Alex?
It is. It is. Amen. I'm glad that people are sharing like this.
Would you mind praying for Ethan's mom and then Betty and Bobby?
Let's pray. Lord, we lift up, we agree in prayer for these dear people, for Ethan's mom and for Bobby and Betty. Lord, you know every need. Matthew 6:8 says you know even before we ask. Lord, we pray for them, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And Lord, I know we have a lot of people in the queue. We can't always get every call that we wish we could. But Lord, we pray for all of these and those waiting.
Amen. We really do. Ethan, thank you, and we appreciate it, brother. And being a son that prays for your mom, nothing like it, I can tell you that. We go to Arkansas, and Mary's on the line. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, I know you don't have much time, so I'll be fast. I heard, I think, on AFR, on the way home from church, a man saying that awakening was what we had to have in America for us to change over a revival. So I was just wondering what you think the differences are between an awakening and a revival, and how do you pray for one over the other?
Okay, great question and great prayer. Listen, if you have a revival, I forgot what preacher said this. You gotta be vived first. That means living. A revival is coming alive again. An awakening is that spreads throughout. I think the revival comes first into a person, a church, in an area, and then it spreads and becomes an awakening, doesn't it, Alex?
It really does. You know, traditionally, although you can say either way, we need a move of God's Holy Spirit, a revival generally touches the Christians. But an awakening like 1748 through 1760, the Great Awakening under Edwards and Whitfield, not only did the churches get revived, but many, many, many lost people got saved. So I think an awakening is even not only the church getting back to Jesus, but many lost souls getting converted as well. And so this is right. This is what our nation needs. In fact, it's the only hope of our nation, really, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. So let's pray. Mary, thank you. Father, we are praying that you would touch believers. Gypsy Smith, the great evangelist that was on what is called the Sawdust Trail, he would tell those that were listening at his brush arbors to draw a circle there in the sawdust, stand inside that circle and say, God, let revival begin inside that circle. And from that, the second great awakening would spread. As Alex said, it churches got right with you, and then it spread to others as it ripple effect into the lives of individuals. And Father, we're praying that for the churches, and we're praying that for America right now. Thank you for Mary for having that question and making it a matter of prayer. So Father, we continue to do that and ask you to send that revival, that awakening, that just works into evangelism and missions, Father. There's never been an awakening that did not work into being a missional purpose. We're praying for that and believing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex,
amen.
Brother,
amen.
How can we pray for you in about 30 seconds? I know you're flying, but how can we pray for you, man?
The flights would be on time, and the Spirit of God would help me preach.
Amen. Brother, we love you. We thank you. Dennis from Missouri called. Well, I didn't know he called back. But we appreciate you and all of those of you. And we're praying for these brothers and sisters in Christ, these people that are asking for final exam strength to be able to answer those questions correctly. Tomorrow we'll start in chapter 13 of Isaiah. Read ahead. Be ready. Yes, it's prophecies. So, man, you got to be ready. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word in American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.